Hey y'all, hey, my name is Dr. O, and I'm the host of Dr. O After Dark. Tonight we are joined by Miss Lady, my girl. We are gonna get into it. So first of all, before we get into all of our After Dark shenanigans, tell me a little bit. I know that you have a non-for-profit organization that helps animals, and that is real dear to me. Had I known, and you know, things I would have brought my therapy dog, which we have. His name is Obsidian, after the stone, but we call him Ozzy for short, and he is a Saint Berdoodle. So he's mixed with Saint Bernard and Poodle. All black, just a little bit of white here on his chest and three little paws. Aww. So tell us a little bit more about your organization and how it helps out into the community, especially others that might need therapy dogs or emotional assisting animals, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay, well, first of all, I want to thank you guys for having me and everybody for inviting me. I appreciate it. It's really exciting to be part of something where we can be fun and then we will speak about serious things. So I'm really about to enjoy this. But when it comes down to the love for animals, we are an outreach that focus in the black and brown community. So what we like to do, and in any community, we are actually branching out. We first started in Fulton County. We have been graced upon so many zip codes. We are now doing the animal care packages in Roswell. So we started off as a small non-for-profit, and now we're just branching out to the whole of Georgia. So what we do is we actually get anyone that has a pet. So if you have a fur baby, if you have a cat, a kitty child, if you
said reptiles earlier.
Reptiles.
Yeah.
If you have chickens, I have a lady who likes chicken worm meal for her chickens, but those are her pet babies.
Oh, wow.
So we try to get we have the real love for all animals. And so we try to keep that emotional support animal in their home. You know, a lot of people don't, you know, have an idea of what's really gonna support you. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it could be a snake. Sometimes it could be a hamster, you know. It doesn't always have to be a dog. I've learned that some people have a lynx as emotional support. So it can range from all ranges of the four-legged creatures. And so what we do is try to make sure that baby stays in your home. So if it's resources, the other a mentor of mine said we're a hub. So now we look at ourselves as a hub of resources. We get food. We are actually backed by Atlanta Humane Society.
Okay.
And then we also have partnership with CARE. It's CARE of Equity. They really focus on BIPOC and black and brown nonprofits that work in the animal world.
Oh, wow.
And then
okay.
We also do a partnership with Thank for Maddie's Fund. So they have sponsored us a great deal that makes us actually get into the curriculum side. So the community side is we do events that goes into, you know, helping with essentials, food, mm-hmm. dog, any type of pet food, shelter, leashes, anything that you may need to keep that baby in your home. But then we also do curriculum. So we just put 7 fish tanks in 7 classrooms.
Oh, wow.
And in schools. And we do daycares from camps, aging from, you know, preschool all the way to 18. And we just try to get in the kids' face and letting them know about passions and what their passion may be. And hopefully trying to get a new vet out there or getting the back for the love for animals in our community.
Okay. So now, do you guys work with anyone, or do you mainly serve like individuals who are of lower socioeconomic status and maybe can't afford to take care of their pet?
No, we don't. I think the reason why we're so successful is because we don't try to make anyone feel as though they need or anyone feel like they don't need. you know, like, we want everyone, it's supposed to be a community. So it's, you could be a six-figure person. We do encourage donations, you know, because if you know you got it, it'd be great if you can provide for us and help and donate to us. But we don't ask for anything. And we give almost 3 months of supply to anyone. So that so you could be in Buckhead, you could be in Roswell, you could be in East Point, you could be in Atlanta, and that's what we try to do.
Okay, all right. Yeah. Now, where exactly are you guys located at?
We're in Atlanta, so we are around the College Park area.
Okay.
But that's where we house, but we do branch out to so many other cities. And, you know, today we were just in Roswell, and you know, and it's just... It's Decatur, Atlanta. So it's just been growing. And we only been established in 2022.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Just last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, that's amazing.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
So as they say, kind of like the pandemic baby.
Yeah. It's your birthday, baby. I ain't having no more kids.
We gonna say that for another day, another time. You know, because, yeah, that ship has sailed with me as well. Inshallah. do you guys do any training or anything like that? Because I know one of the things with me is that out of the blue, not this January 23, January 2022, I started having seizures. And I never had a history of seizures. Well, my husband said that he saw me have one once before. I don't recall that. But to my knowledge, I've never had a history of seizures. Didn't know where they were coming from. Didn't know what the cause was. After treatment with medication and going to different neuropsychologists and things like that, I most recently was told that I have non-epileptic seizures. And so what that means is that epilepsy is because of the disconnect or neurons and things in your brain that cause a seizure. I don't have that to where they picked it up with anything in the brain. The seizures that I'm having is more due to trauma or stress related or different things, you know, of that nature. They mentioned, like, you know, as a trauma psychologist and dealing with a whole lot that might contribute to it, along with my own personal life stuff. Most recently, my dad passed away. So all of these things, and I believe that's kind of when, shortly after my dad passed away, is when the seizures started. So even though they're non-epileptic seizures, they're still seizures. And because they're non-epileptic, I can't control them via medication.
Gotcha.
I have to control them or learn how to control them through therapy, stress management, all that kind of great stuff. But because I never know really kind of when I'm going to have it, that's why I still got in love my, you know, my service dog.
Gotcha.
And,
oh, Ozzy.
You know, yes, Ozzy.
So
is,
Ozzy,
yes,
Ozzy,
he's my service dog.
He's a healer.
Yes, he's my sir. That's what obsidian means. Y'all look it up. You know, we end in them with stone and them crystals. But yes, obsidian. Well, my daughter named him Knight. So, Obsidian Knight.
Oh, that's a beautiful name.
Yeah.
So. And it's so funny because when I got into the animal work, I was doing a lot of trying to soul search with the gun violence. With the gun violence, and trying to figure out what is it with the whole PTSD that we deal with in a lot of the urban communities, the hood, and, you know, a lot of those traumas, and also dealing with any personal trauma. Could it be an abusive relationship? Could it be certain things that you go through? And I said, well, what is it? After I wrote the poetry book, I said, what is it? What is it that we could really do? And God told me no. And when I was like, Noah, what you mean? And as I walked and walked and walked and listened and walked and obeyed and did and did and kept going and kept going, I was able to see exactly what it is. It's making a way for people that either is going through that don't have it financially, but they still need their therapy, dog. They still need their therapy, Kat, because it's keeping them from, you know, to your, it's your health. And sometimes people's mental health that is always, you know, are they gonna go postal? Are they, you know what I mean? Are they gonna go in deep depression?
And you know, the crazy part about that is that so many people are making money off of therapy dogs and service dogs. When therapy dogs or service dogs with the federal government, according to the ADA, you do not need to have, there is no official training, documentation, anything like that, that you need to have as a service dog. As long as your dog is trained and obedient, you know, potty trained, not aggressive and all that kind of great things, and know how to be able to take care of you in that emergency situation, it can be a service dog. You don't have to have any tags. You don't have to have any identification. You don't have to have it to say service dog on a little thing or whatever. And you cannot be denied. No. And people cannot question you. Not anywhere. Not airplane, not restaurants, wherever. And they cannot question you as to if this is your service dog or not. What they do, the only thing they can question you about is if this dog is needed to help support whatever disability you have.
That's true.
Now,
get fun.
For all of y'all that, you know, traveling around with y'all dogs, that's a little key point, a little tidbit. You know, you don't need no documentation or anything like that to travel with your dog. Just say it's a service dog. They can't. Long as your dog has to be trained now. Yeah. You can't be using the bathroom and barking and all that kind of stuff. But you got a good trained dog and you trying to go on vacation from here to Cali and you ain't got no sitter because, ooh, that boarding be expensive.
That boarding is expensive.
Go right on the Delta website and say that it is a service dog and you
just
are
take
good.
Your baby with you.
You are good to go.
Hotels could take them too.
Bypass all them fees.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, that's
a good tip.
Okay.
All right. So you said that you have a book.
I do. I think it's the very first poetry novel ever. I kind of think that it's kind of like a Shakespeare's with poetry and short stories. A chicken noodle soup for the hood soul.
Nice.
I like to call it. Yeah.
Chicken noodle soup for the hood soul. Yeah. I like that.
And it's a lot of rough, raw poetry, a lot of situations that we go through.
Okay.
If it's gun violence, if it's rape, if it's drug dealing, deals that went bad. I have stories in there that actually kind of get our youth to actually really tap into the things that they hear on music, but what is the real outcome of it? Yeah. What is the real reality of what we're dealing with? And I think that even down to the abuse of just, you know, and toxic love and not really knowing what that is and thinking, well, the man calls you certain things, like that's love, and it's really not, you know? And I think that that's important. So I made a poetry book to kind of, and I've been through all those things. I've been through a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And I also have loved ones, wise ones, I call them, that been through things too. And we have these talks. And so it was just kind of paying homage to the wise ones before me. A lot of things that bring the peace in my life now. And it's just, if it's down to music, if it's down to scriptures, if it's down to knowing the real G knowledge. Like, you know, like, I'm not gonna do that no more because this is what I know the outcome is gonna be. And I think that's what we need in our, so that's what I made.
And I like that real G knowledge,
yeah,
because as y'all know, you know, I'm Dr. O.
Yeah.
But, you know, and I'm an international psychologist and I specialize in the area of trauma.
Exactly.
But that don't mean I ain't been through my stuff.
Right.
And so what we like to do here at Dr. O After Dark mm-hmm. is to kind of take away all of that stuffiness and really get into the real, raw, and relevant. Yes. So with this poetry book mm-hmm. slash novel. Journal?
It's novel? It's like a novel, yeah.
Slash novel.
Because mm-hmm, it's a lot of short stories. It's no characters. It's no characters. It's just straight story, straight knowledge, and then you go on to the next story.
Okay. So this poetry slash novel, you said it's built on a lot of your own personal experiences.
Yeah.
And experiences from the community or your family around it. Tell me a little bit about your upbringing. Would you say that you experienced trauma? As a child?
As a child, I would say more as a preteen.
Okay.
But I would say more of my childhood trauma was more so, and any trauma can trigger, right? Mm-hmm. Some people trauma is more deeper than others. Mm-hmm. So a lot of times we may look at it like, oh, your parents was just divorced. That could trigger someone a little different.
Absolutely.
Than it is someone that really been through being beat by their parents. Mm-hmm. And I think, but it's still trauma. I don't think nobody's trauma is less or more important than the other. And I think that's really important to kind of understand and have empathy for different people at different levels.
Mm-hmm.
So my childhood trauma was more so divorce, fighting, different things that, you know, marital traumas that I feel. That trauma affects me more in my relationships now than I did when I got raped or when I was... Like, I feel like the marital trauma is more what gets people... What creates the ongoing trauma that then their child goes
through.
And then it's like a generational curse almost. And
yeah.
I think that was more triggering than the hood trauma.
No, and you're absolutely right. What you're describing is what's called developmental trauma or complex trauma.
Mm.
And see, what happens is oftentimes we negate that trauma as, oh, that was just a part of life. That was just a part of the Black experience. That was just a part of my mom was a, you know, single parent. My dad wasn't, oh, that's just, and even a lot of times we can find camaraderie around those things and laugh about them and joke about them. But we don't realize how that impacts us in our lives today in a traumatic way. How does that impact our relationships?
Thanks.
Not only romantic relationships,
right.
but even relationships with our friends. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times have you heard people say, you know, that they don't have girlfriends?
Right, like homegirls.
Yeah, homegirls.
Yeah. And that's a trigger.
Yeah.
What's going on? What's your red flag?
We're gonna say that for part two because we're gonna talk about like girl trips and all that kind of stuff.
I don't go on them. No, I'm just joking. You can invite me, but I don't.
Listen, I'm normally a solo dolo and I went on a girl's trip.
Mm-mm.
And
I get separate bills.
And it was nonsense on there. I was like, oh no,
This is the thing. I hold myself, my name is Lady. I hold myself as a lady. It may be a little sexy lady, but it's a lady at the end of the day. You have to be very cognizant of who you hang around.
Absolutely.
If you got a hoe in your group, they don't think you a hoe too. And I'm too much playing in that. You know,
I was talking to someone earlier today, one of my clients earlier today, and she was telling me how she had cut off one of her friends
mm-hmm.
because her best friend at the time, you know, whenever she was kind of like dating somebody or trying to date somebody or whatever, her friend will always sabotage the relationship. And so,
this is crazy.
So she said that she met somebody like on Tinder or something like that one time, and they were vibing, it was kicking it or whatever. And her best friend was over there and was like, oh, let me talk to him or whatever. And so she, the girl, you know, it was a best friend, she went and put him on the phone or whatever, gave the phone to her best friend. And her best friend was like, oh yeah, you know my girl, she, you know, da da da, and she got 3,000 and all this. And dude was like, yeah, your girlfriend made you seem like you just kind of out there. So, this is null and void. But who goes on with a stranger talking about, oh, they got 3. Y'all and, new age well, folks.
I ain't gonna lie, it's no Disney free. But you ain't talking to a man. We ain't doing that. You can go over there and find you a man if you talk to him. I don't do the friends.
I think because she was married or whatever, yeah. You know, that's why she kind of, but I'm like,
I'm learning not allowing certain single friends around your man. That can't come around.
I'm married.
I learned the hard way.
I'm married.
Oh, congratulations. So tell me.
Is it bling bling?
It's shining.
So tell me
a little bit. We got a toast.
So tell me a little
bit. A black woman married and a happy marriage.
That's it. That's
all that means.
So tell me a little bit about this dating pool. Because see, what I tell a lot of times, everybody, I always hear, there's piss in the dating pool. So I say, well, look, shit, if it's piss in the dating pool, maybe you need to go out to the lake. Mm-hmm. Maybe like, oh, the lake got dirty. It's got seaweed and all that. Baby, maybe you need to go out to the ocean. Because I'm telling you, you can go to the ocean, the Atlantic, the end. Have you been to the Indian Ocean?
I love that mentality.
This is what they say. There's another fish in the sea. Oh, girlfriend. I think I'm telling my age now, y'all new millennials.
I'm gonna go with my car today and I'm gonna turn it on and I'm gonna dance.
A fish in the sea.
Because I need to hear it.
Girlfriend, ooh, ooh. You know you are the best I ever had. Cried my last cry. I'm not the dough, baby.
Is that Janet? No? Oh. I was thinking more of her Rhythm Nation day.
I'll let you Google it and find out. Youngin.
Okay.
All this, 43.
Oh, yes. We got a toast, baby. That's a toast.
And no filter, baby. No filter, no filter, no filter.
The dating pool. I first want to say chivalry isn't dead. It isn't. Chivalry is not dead. And I think that's what, like, a lot of women, they're saying, like, all these men. I feel like it's a give and take now. I think, you know, back in the day, it was more, you know, a man comes automatically. I'm a provider. I'm this, I'm that, housewife. Like, everybody had their roles. I think now it's more so it's an ego trip. You know, what you doing? What I'm doing? You know, it's like, and what I was talking to one guy and I felt this. He was like, girls be competing with me. And I'm learning we be competing. And it's like, why are we competing?
Well, what do they consider as competing?
I think even with, like, say a man, he got a lot of motion. A woman, and I mean motion, a lot of things going on. If it could be family, it could be involved with your family. It could be, because I think some people not as involved with their family. So they end up dating people that is involved with their family, which is a... It could be a no-no, because now you're questioning, well, why are you always with your family? Why? Mm-hmm. And it's like, so different motion. It could be different things. Mm-hmm. Career, it could be money. It could be, they just like, I know somebody, they just like fishing. They just like it. And I think that women, I think it's women and men. It's like when one isn't doing what the other is doing. It's a competition now. It's I'm doing more than you. I'm, you know, or why are you doing that? Why? It's like it's always it's not a backhanded compliment, but it's always things that's like, well, are you happy for me or are you not happy for me? You know, are you competing with me or are you really, really concerned about if I'm doing, making the right decisions or if I'm doing the right things to better my life? And I think that comes off as some men, and I hear this a lot, so that's why I said it, you know.
Okay. Well, what, I mean, I would say I hear that a lot as well. However, what I will say, I cannot... So, I was born in 1980. Not the 1980s, because when people be like 1980s, that's 80 between 89. I was on the cuff, so I'm more closer to the 70s.
Okay.
So I was right on 1980.
The soul train.
The Libras in the house, Libras, okay. All right. But saying all that to say is that in my generation and kind of, you know, growing up and things like that, it was a certain perception in regards to our roles with dating. And I think that's kind of changed a little bit now, not even just our roles with dating.
And expectations.
But expectations as well, but also our socioeconomic change, you know, and it's hard for me to say because I can't say that is the socioeconomic is changing or if it's more or less I'm changing in different kind of socioeconomic groups.
Gotcha.
And because I'm in different socioeconomic groups than what I was when I grew up in, maybe not seeing a lot of the same stuff that I saw when I was a child. Mm. And so I'm just wondering if it, you know, if dating and stuff has to do with where you're at now, because I see a lot of women who are more, you know, independent, you know, as, you know, one of the things I look at is, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, giving you a shout out, Kendra G
from
Chicago has a single show and I like watching it.
I love it.
It's so entertaining, you know, to me. However, one of the things that she, you know, whenever I feel like a female kind of comes on the show and says that she wants a man that makes over six figures.
Yeah. It's not realistic.
That's what Kendra G says.
Yeah.
It's not realistic.
And this is the thing, I feel when it comes to realistic and economic tiers, my biggest thing now, and I feel like what people will be more successful dating is, it does that person have a purpose? If you date per purpose, you shouldn't really care about what money they're making now.
No, and
I agree. Make that money.
I agree with that. But what I'm saying with Kendra G is that she will also often discourage people.
Yeah, like it's not possible.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, I live in Atlanta, and all the dudes I know either make six figures or close to it. So why are you talking about and saying that people, well, where they at? Yeah, I got, you know, I love my matchmaking now. Don't get me started, because I do.
Look, and I'm open.
I do the matchmaking now. But like, even when I met my husband, I viewed him as top tier.
Definitely.
You know, he was college educated. He owned his own home. He never been married. He didn't have any kids. He's from Bronx, New York. He's had this great swagger with this, you know, nice, you know, executive suit, high in tech. Went to the top three school of technology, which is Georgia Tech.
Okay.
And I used to view him up here and me down here. Yeah. I was a single parent. Mm-hmm. not college. I was in school. Mm-hmm. I had just started going back to school, but I wasn't college educated. Mm-hmm. Struggling, you know, basically paycheck to paycheck. Mm-hmm. Didn't drive a luxury car, didn't own a home or whatever, all these things to him, and making over six figures. But yet and still, none of that seemed to matter, you know, to him when we started getting together and dating. Mm,
that's a key.
Because, you know, when people talk about, oh, it's impossible. Well, now, are we both up there? Part of that is because he's seen my aspirations. When we met, I told him I want to be a doctor. Mm. And so I'm working on getting my doctorate. There's nothing that's going to stop me. Mm. So maybe that's part of it, is that people see that, you know, if I can see that in you, that you willing to do. But what Kendra often says is that men who make six figures and yada, 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 they want that Susie homemaker. They don't want a career-oriented person.
I had told a friend, she was saying, I'm gonna start my business when I find my husband. I got money. I said, baby, the men that got money ain't gonna invest in you if you ain't doing nothing. You're not a good business plan, period. I wouldn't invest in you. What are you doing now?
You know, and the crazy thing about that is, like, as a habit, and I know that you are familiar with this as having a nonprofit organization, and I as well, when we're looking and going out for grants, what do they say? We ain't giving you no money unless you got money. Who are you already getting funding for and everything else like that? So we have to have money to make money. Yes. Absolutely.
And are you, even if you don't have all the money to really do what you want to do, are you still doing something now? And it's like, a lot of women sit back and they be like, well, I'ma wait. Well, you're not a good business fan, baby, because I don't know if that $10,000 that he gonna give you is gonna really flip. You know? It's just, it's not realistic. And then this is one thing I gotta say. I, in my dating world, and I probably should be, you know, reprimanded for this. I don't look at the money, because it's like, I've dealt with a man that had a lot of money, and that's where a lot of my trauma starts.
Okay.
And the dating pool too. When the man with money, I've been in that purple purse trauma, that purple purse abuse. And women don't know what that is, but purple purse abuse is when a man basically uses his money to control you, uses his money to say things like, oh, you gonna eat when I let you eat.
Yeah.
I had that type of situation. I do what I want. I could cheat on you on how many women I want to.
But you know what? That's what Kendra G also often says.
It's true.
That, you know, if you want this man making this much amount of money, are you willing to accept this full lifestyle that he has?
I'm willing to accept it as long as it's open.
Well, as long as it is,
and I can do me.
You know, we can do poly as long as, you know, it's equal. You got yours, I got mine.
And you ain't controlling, you're not abusive. And that's what I think it falls into. Women, we get so caught up in, oh, he want me to stay in his house and not work. We ain't doing that. If I stay in your house, I'm going to work. Because if you come in this house one day and you just smelling yourself a little bit too much, it's going to then become his house. It's going to become his bill.
And, you know, I was actually having, I know this is the second time I probably said this, I'm having this exact conversation.
Because we real OG.
Real raw and relevant, baby. But I had this conversation with a client earlier, and she's new to kind of dating, and she's got this kind of guy, and he's in the military, and And she said, every time, hey, I was in the Navy, ooh, raw.
I'm just saying.
Shout out police to officers. All my veterans, all my battle, but I was a law enforcement officer. You just digging deeper and deeper.
A police officer man actually told me a lot of some good advice. So
that's probably what I need to know.
I'm just saying. I mean, stability, you know, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But
and I know where he at night.
Every night. Well, I mean, unless he doing them house calls like they used to say, Mr. Officer,
No.
See, I was an officer back in the 99.
I know you They was wrapping them up. Please take the handcuffs off, officer. How many times do you get hit on as an officer? I'm sorry, no, this is no disrespect to her husband. We're just having fun. How many times did you get hit
on? Too many to count. Every single day. Now, see, it was, I loved it.
Because that belt be giving a little bit.
It did. And I'm 5'2". Right? Yeah, I'm 5'2". And I was probably about, I used to run tracks. I had nice legs. I was athletic. I can lift half over half my body weight. You know, I was little, you know, in my 20s, I was a little cute little thing. Mm. And that was when Wayne and all them was out, So every single time, that song got wore out.
I know.
Pull anybody over. Stop anybody on the beat. But it was such a great time because they were also, you know, it was like, you don't mess with Dr. West. I mean, Officer West.
So you really get respect.
A lot of, because I'll fight to petite and I would tell them, listen, I know, like, I'm from this, you know. We gotta do what we gotta do.
Yeah.
Long as you don't do what you're doing in front of me, to where I gotta, you know, take some action, then I ain't caring. Because I know the cycle. Right. And unless we put in other parameters for this, for poverty, for, you know, taking care of your family and different things like that, then, you know, it's here.
You probably changed.
And we're gonna beat the cycle.
Because it was like holding them accountable too. So now they don't want to be crazy. They don't want to do things that's like, well, I don't want to do it in front of Miss West, you know. So I'm a,
all the
so
time.
So that makes people think like, a little bit more about their actions and, well, is Miss West over here?
Okay. All the time they was like, Officer West, come on. You better put that away. But
that's respect.
I've been in situations where people from not that community and others have come and, you know, shot up or whatever, and the people in my beat was like, nah, we gonna protect Officer West.
Right.
We'll take a bullet. She may be the officer, she may be the cop, she may be the PO, whatever.
But I'm gonna look out for her.
But she's a sister and she 5'2", 115.
Yeah.
I ain't gonna let nothing happen to her. And so, yeah, that has always been a part of even what I do now, because I've always felt like, you know, I can't be about the change, you know, can't speak about the change, I gotta be about the change.
And I said it all the time, be the change you want. Be the change you wanna see.
That's absolutely
it. You got to, because I could sit out here all day and be like, we need to do this, we need to do this, but
you're doing that.
What are you? Yeah.
You're doing that.
And I can't stand a woke person that's not emulating what they want to see. Like, you woke, so you want to talk about it, or you're going to make some change? You're going to be about it.
It's like, absolutely.
You got to be about it, and, you know. But I like action more.
But lady, the Don.
Yes.
You about it.
Thank you.
You about it from what you're doing and getting back in the community.
Thank you.
With your animal support nonprofit, you know, and because y'all don't have no income, I think I might bring Ozzy around here and see what y'all, you know, what kind of little collar.
Yay,
or something.
You do.
We can
through.
Get, you know, we can we get got, for
we
Ozzy.
Got some, we got some sweaters. We got some Reebok socks for Ozzy. Some coats.
Now he a big boy.
We got you. They can stretch.
Yeah, he a big boy. So he 83 pounds. So you got some big boy stuff.
I got some big boy stuff.
All right. So we going to come by. Y'all make sure. Can you give everyone here your contact information for your nonprofit as well as for your journal? Because I believe that journal will be magnificent in helping and healing.
Thank you.
Us as someone who does poetry and spoken word as well. I think the idea that you have of combining spoken word and a novel and sharing your truth. And a benefit of that is that we know that we're not alone.
Right. And that, and you can do it. You can really, your story matters.
It matters.
Like, it really matters. So you can actually cop the book on So all my social media, all my businesses, everything, the love for animals, adrenaline, everything is on lady_thedawn. And it is, that's where you can get the link and to my poetry. My book is on Amazon. It's The Flower Who Turned Pain into Peace. And if you need anything for your animal, the love for animals, outreach, if you go on lady_thedawn, D-A-W-N, it's lady_thedawn, and you can find the love for paws on there. Click on that, and you should be able to email us and give us anything that you need. We're going to look out for you. We really will.
That's a love for paws, and that is lady, L-A-D-Y, underscore, the T-H-E, Dawn. Now, y'all don't get it confused with D-O-N. It's D-A-W-N. Lady underscore Dawn. Yes, because you're bringing light.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
Love and light.
This was so much fun. I really want
to. Well, we definitely have to have you back because we have so much more to go over. We didn't even get to our 10 for 10 tonight, our 10 greatest questions of all time. So we definitely have to have you come back.
I would love to.
Well, thank you so much, lady. Yeah.